a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, and joining me on the other line is Kyle Ireland, also writes for KSLSports.com. We are your Jazz Notes podcast for this day as we get ready for the last 28 games of the season. Kyle, can you believe it's already gone by? I mean, it's kind of funny. Before we get into our five most important games coming up in the last 28, can you believe it's gone by this quick? Can you believe that we're only down to 28 games left in the season? Sometimes it feels long and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I think the All-Star game really throws us for a loop because it's really not a midway point of the NBA season. It's more like a two-thirds kind of an All-Star break. So it's definitely coming down to the wire real quick.
So as I just mentioned, we're going to talk about our five most important games coming up in the last 28 of the season. Then we're also going to talk about Mike Conley and if he's going to find his form. But that's coming up in a bit. So I'm going to name two. Kyle's going to name two games. Then we're going to name a couple of more games. Then we'll name our last game that we think is the most important. So I'll start out first, Kyle. You can make comments on it. The first game, you know, we could give the coachism, Kyle. You know it. We could say, well, you know, every game is important. Yeah. Okay. And I know that the game against the San Antonio Spurs, I know that's important. And I know the game against Houston right after that's probably important too. But that's not my number one most important game, at least when it comes to the calendar. I think the first most important game will be on March 6th at Boston. Why is that important? Because it's one more time that the Jazz get to try and prove themselves against a team that they could face. I can't believe I'm going to say this. If they make it to the NBA Finals, a team they could face in the NBA Finals, a good team in the Eastern Conference. But not only that, I like when they play the Celtics because this is a team that's going to challenge them with a smaller lineup, like a Houston, just a team we haven't seen before. They are going to play Boston at the end of this month, but I think that the more important game will be at Boston to see how they handle the Boston Celtics. They're very switchable. They can play small supposedly they can play small. And I think it's just going to be a good challenge to see how they play in Boston. So that's my number one game. My number two game is not going to be that long after that. It's March 9th at home against Toronto. And the reason why I'm interested in that game is this is a team that I think everyone is pulling for. Even though they won the title last year, they don't have Kawhi Leonard anymore, but they are still a really good team. And I want to see how the Jazz handle them because when they played before, the Jazz didn't fare well, but it was also during that big, long, rough stretch at the start of the season for the Jazz. And so I want to see how they play against a team like Toronto, who has so many different ways that they can beat you. Those are my two first games that I would say are the most important for the Jazz. Thoughts on that? Or you can just fire off the first two games that you think are important to you.
Yeah, I would just say that before we worry about an Eastern Conference opponent for the Jazz, I think that we need to look at the teams around them in the Western Conference and where they sit in the Western Conference standings. And so that's why for my first game, I'm going to go with the Rockets on Saturday, February 22nd. I look at the season series and the Jazz and Rockets are tied at a game apiece. This is the third and final meeting of the season series. And so if the Jazz can pick up a critical win, they'll take the season series 2-1. And that helps them if there's ever a potential tiebreak as far as records go at the end of the season. So that is my first game. And then
Sure, Kyle, you're gonna pull that on me. And yes, you make a good point. Okay, yes, Rockets are important. I get it. Okay, so maybe you trump me on that. But maybe I'm just excited to see the Celtics and how the Jazz play Gordon Hayward. Anyway, go ahead. Your second team.
It's not a bad revenge factor to look at the March 6th game. I'll give you that one as well. But my second game, I'm going to go with the Lakers. It's a home game on March 16th for the Jazz. And the Jazz are down in the season series 0-2 against the Lakers. And if they want to, you know, try and put themselves in a position where if they face a team, let's say they face the Lakers in the second round, if they make it past the first round, you know, facing a team like the Lakers would be something where I'd want to have a win under my belt to try and see how we can, you know, best take advantage of them if I'm Quinn Snyder. And I look at that as a pivotal game. It's, you know, tied in with a back-to-back there. They play the Lakers twice on March 16th and then again on the 18th. So I'm going to make that a 2-for-1 there and say that one of those games, but primarily that home matchup with the Lakers is my second out of my five.
Is it because let's be honest, folks, here, my third most important game, at least calendar wise, was that March 16th game against the Lakers, the one that Kyle just mentioned, excuse me. But Kyle, I'm just curious. I think you kind of mentioned it, but maybe you could clarify why the home game over the road game, since they are kind of playing a quote unquote back to back, even though there's an off night in between.
Yeah, I look at the home game as just a pivotal moment to, you know, obviously home games. The Jazz are playing a lot better at home this season than they are on the road. And so if they can kind of use that home court advantage to help get that one victory, I think that it allows them to, I don't expect the Jazz to win both of those games, but if they can split the two and, you know, like I said, they're already down 0-2 in the season series. And so in order to have a potential tie there, they need to win both of those games. But if they can at least get the one, they're already back 5.5-6 games in the standings to the Lakers. It's going to be really hard to catch them in the standings between now and the end of the season with so little games left. But to try and get a game that you could get under your belt, feel better about a potential matchup with the Lakers if you were to face them in the playoffs would be pivotal in my opinion. And so if you can use that home court advantage on the 16th as opposed to facing them on the 18th after having lost 3 straight to them, I look at that 16th matchup as the more pivotal game and vital game to win.
I would agree with you. I think the Jazz just need some sort of morale boost when it comes to the Lakers, because the Lakers have kind of waxed them this year in both games they've played. And I look at that, and there'll be some good games before it, and we talked about a couple of them. Talked about Houston. We talked about Toronto. We talked about Boston twice. So they're going to face some good teams, but they just have not looked good against Lakers. So that's why this game is so important. I think for more than anything else, I actually don't expect them to win in Los Angeles 2 nights later. They really need that just to show that they can compete with the Lakers. Even if they lose 3 of 4, they need at least one game to say, yes, we can beat them. We're taking the first 2 games away. We weren't playing well at that in both spots that we played them earlier this season. One was, what was it, like the third or fourth game of the season? I can't remember exactly right now. And then the second time was when they were in that funk. And so I think they just need some sort of morale boost to say, yes, we can beat the best team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that you look at this new Jazz team that's, you know, made some adjustments since those games against LA. They have a Jordan Clarkson now where they didn't have that to begin with. And, you know, trying to reintegrate Mike Conley back into the lineup. I think that these are good tests for the Jazz before the playoffs come. And if they can pick off one of those games, it can be a good momentum boost moving forward.
So my fourth game, since we tied on your second most important game and my third most important game. By the way, these rankings for me are not here's number one, here's number two. Mine was by date only. Like, here's the first most important game, stuff like that. So that's what I'm thinking right now. I think the next most important game, according to me, and this is my number four, is the Jazz playing the Denver Nuggets. And it has a lot to do with what we just talked about with the Lakers. Right now, the Jazz have not looked good against the Nuggets this season, even though they should have beaten them at home in that last game when they only had 7 healthy players. If the Jazz are going to have any thoughts about winning their division, they've got to beat the Denver Nuggets in that game. They've got to show that they can beat them, because there are only two more games with them left, and the last one is the last game of the season, and I don't know who is going to be playing in that game or what is going to be on the line, but I would say that game, April 5th, the second to last game against the Nuggets, they need to win that game. Again, maybe it's more than a morale boost, but it's more of a, we could be moving up in the standings. We need to beat that team ahead of us, or that team that's tied with us, or that team that could be catching up to us. They need to show the Nuggets that they are the better team, and that's why I pick the Denver Nuggets on April 5th as my April 5th is my fourth most important game. Okay, we haven't hit your third or fourth. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I think that I'm on the same page with you as far as the Nuggets are concerned, because both those games on the 4th and the 14th of April are pivotal for the Jazz, because they're down 0-2, like you mentioned, in the season series. And to be able to, just like the Lakers are ahead of them in the standings right now, the Nuggets are in second place in the Western Conference. And in order to be able to go into the playoffs or the end of the season there and be tied 2-2 with the Nuggets would be huge. To be able to have a potential tiebreak situation move on to another aspect of a tiebreaker, because you have a season series tied at two games apiece. So I'm with you on the game on the 4th, or sorry, on the 5th of April, but also that season ending game against the Nuggets could be really pivotal as far as a potential tiebreaker goes. But my next game is the Clippers on the 7th of April. And it's because the Jazz are up 2-1 right now against the Clippers. One of those games, obviously, you know, the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and so the Jazz were able to get a win there, even though the Clippers, you know, fought really tough in that game. But on the 7th, I would expect the Clippers to be at full force against the Jazz, trying to, you know, get into playoff shape as the season comes to an end there only a week later. And if the Jazz can take the season series there, I think that gives them a really good chance, as long as they, you know, are continuing to kind of win at the current pace that they are, to be able to be ahead of the Clippers, which I think would be pivotal as far as matchups go when you move on from the first round. I think that you just want to try and avoid the Lakers or the Clippers in the second round. If you can try and match up with one of those teams when you get to the Western Conference Finals, that would be ideal. Just so that way you can try and avoid, I think that those teams present the most matchup nightmares for the Jazz and a lot of teams in the West, not just the Jazz alone, but to try and make that one of those games where you can move away from the Clippers in the standings if you're, you know, setting yourself in a position to do so by winning the season series would be, just vital and of utmost importance for this Jazz team.
I'm not sure great minds think alike, but I'll say my average mind thinks like yours. That was my last game, actually, was the Clippers. That's the game that I think is probably the fifth most important, and I totally agree with you. You want to show right now, again, that you're going to be competitive, because we know the Clippers are going to be good going into the playoffs as long as they're healthy. As long as Paul George is healthy and as long as Kawhi Leonard is healthy, that is a really dangerous team. So that game, I think, again, I think what you said was correct. I think you want to show well in that last game. They haven't played the Clippers for a long time. It was nice when they beat them during that win streak. It was nice when they played them well early on in the season, even though they didn't have Paul George in that game. And Kawhi Leonard in that game, too. I think that the Jazz, again, kind of need to flex their muscles a little bit in that game. So my five are already taken up, Kyle. I know you've got at least one more, unless I totally missed it, unless that second game against Denver that you're talking about is your last game. Or do you have another phantom game out there that I don't know about?
Yes. No, since we tied on the 5th, I'll say that the last one is that 14th of April game against the Nuggets. I look at those teams around the Jazz in the Western Conference standings, the Nuggets, Clippers, Rockets, and Lakers, and the Jazz are down 0-2 against the Nuggets and Lakers on the season, and then the Rockets, they're tied at a game apiece, and the Clippers, they're up 2-1. And so I look at those matchups, and it's been so vital. And you look at the Jazz and how the playoff seedings have played out the last couple of seasons, the Jazz have not had home court advantage. They've been in the 4-5 matchup, but they haven't had home court advantage due to playoff or during due to the season's records and the season matchups. And so trying to be able to kind of supplant those other records from seasons past by getting those wins over those teams that you're around in the season series, I think would just be really a step in the right direction, help this Jazz team kind of give themselves more of a momentum boost than they've had in seasons past. Just because I feel like the last couple of seasons, the way that the Jazz have been down early on in the season, they've really had to play more of a playoff stretch leading up to the end of the regular season just to be in a position to, you know, be in that 4-5 matchup at the end of the season. Whereas this season, I could see themselves really just, you know, cementing themselves into a home court advantage situation, depending on how they perform against these teams down the end of the stretch here. And so if they can perform well in these games, I can see them hosting in the first round, really trying to avoid some tough second round matchups as well.
Since we tied on so many, Kyle, let me throw three games out that I think are going to be dynamite to watch. And it actually comes right after that Toronto game. On March 11th, they're going to play Oklahoma City, and they've had problems with the Thunder this year. Then they're going to come home. That's at Oklahoma City. Then they're going to come home and host New Orleans. Ah, Zion Williamson, should be fun. And then right after that, the very next night, they're going to host the Memphis Grizzlies, and you get Ja Morant. And these are all three teams that either are going to be in the playoffs or are going to be fighting to be in the playoffs. And yes, New Orleans is still fighting to get in the playoffs. That's three dynamite games, and then they play those back-to-back games versus the Lakers. That's a three-game stretch that, even though we didn't mention either any of those teams, that's a killer three-game stretch that I don't think the Jazz or any of their fans should overlook. And actually, it should be a lot of fun to watch if you're a Jazz fan too.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that, you know, if you look at the schedule heading down the stretch here, then the amount of nationally televised games will tell you all you need to know about the teams that the Jazz are playing down in these last few games of the season. And, you know, just being able to perform well on a national spotlight against great teams, being able to pick up some big time wins will really help motivate this team and give them some good momentum as they head into the playoffs. And I think that Jazz fans, you know, looking back to last offseason, the Mike Conley trade, some of the other moves that they made with free agent signings like Bojan Bogdanovic, there was a lot of excitement. But throughout this season, there's been a lot of ups and downs, trying to figure out how Mike Conley fits into the mix. And, you know, an all-star appearance from Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell has kind of really helped, you know, buoy this team throughout some really tough games, a win streak that, you know, was followed up by a losing streak. There's just been a lot of interesting storylines to this season, but trying to, you know, take advantage of some of these so-called improvements, maybe going into this playoff stretch, as opposed to where they were in seasons past in the playoffs, where they've, you know, been able to advance in the playoffs, or like last season face the Houston Rockets teams. I think that the Jazz need to have some momentum going into this playoffs. And one of those ways that they can do that is by getting home court advantage in the first round, but also being able to show that they can beat some of the teams that are at the top of the Western Conference. And even the Eastern Conference, like you mentioned, against Toronto and Boston, is really going to be pivotal for this team to have success in the postseason.
You mentioned Mike Conley and the struggles he's had this season. Will he finally roll into form going into those last 28 games? That's what we're going to be talking about coming up next right here on the Jazz Notes podcast.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast. My name's Cleon Wall. Kyle Ireland with KSLSports.com is joining me to talk about now Mike Conley. 28 games left in the season. The last few games he played in, he actually looked pretty good. You'd like to see a little more of that, and he's not going to play against the San Antonio Spurs on Friday night, but he is looking a lot better, Kyle. If you go back over his last 10 games, he's averaging about 16 points a game, and he's shooting, you'd like to see him shoot a little more, but actually for Mike Conley, he's pretty good. He's shooting about 44% from the field, 38% from the three-point line, and if you take the last three games he played in, he scored 20, 18, 21, 22, And if you go back to that San Antonio loss that we that happened back during that losing streak, he only scored 12 in that one. Do you see him kind of rolling into form as we're going over the last 28 games, even though he's not going to play in at least one of those games against San Antonio?
Yeah, so I think it's an interesting conversation because are we talking about the Mike Conley that everybody expected him to be based off of his last season with Memphis? Or are we talking about the Mike Conley that we've seen out of the last 10 games, like you've mentioned? Because if he can continue to do what he's done for the last 10 games, I think that that's all the Jazz need him to do in order to have success. Like you mentioned, he's been shooting a lot better these last few games. His last seven games that he's played out of the last 10 that the Jazz have had on the schedule, he's up 5% overall shooting compared to what he was in his first part of the season. And I think that that's, you know, a product of him being able to sit on the bench through those through that stretch of injury and be able to analyze the offense and try and figure out how he can fit into this new mix of a team that he hasn't ever really played in. He's always been the primary ball handler, and he's not having to play that role with the Jazz. I mean, Donovan Mitchell clearly is having the ball in his hands more than Mike Conley is. And I think that if the Jazz want to have success in the future, that's definitely how it should be. But to be able to try and find a role where he can have success, but not necessarily be the one conducting everything like he's done throughout his career, is really going to help the Jazz, you know, get to where they want to be in the postseason. But he's shooting the ball a lot better. He's shooting it better from three as well. He's up a percentage point there. And then he's shooting a couple points more per game. But as far as the rest of it, I mean, he's pulling down about as many rebounds as he has all season, assists per game about steady, and then turnovers and minutes played, they're about the same and what you would expect based off of what he was doing earlier in the season. And so I just think it's finding a little bit more efficiency in his game. And so I would say that I expect him to play at the clip that he's been playing at for the last 10 games, not what he's been playing at over the 32 games that he's played in all season. And so if he can just continue to play the new version of Mike Conley, the version that sat out and was able to figure out where he can find success in this Jazz offense, if he can be that Mike Conley, then yes, I think that he's going to be in Mike Conley form for this home stretch and then also this postseason run. Because lest we forget, Mike Conley's been to the Western Conference Finals. He's had playoff success. He hasn't been to the finals and he hasn't made an All-Star game, but this Mike Conley, he's played quality basketball games when it's mattered most, and he's seen success even though it's been quite a while since he's been to those, you know, high marquee matchup postseason games. I think that will be really valuable for a guy like Donovan Mitchell to lean on when the Jazz play a Los Angeles Lakers team or a Los Angeles Clippers team facing NBA champions in the postseason. And so if Mike Conley can just be the 15, 16 point a game guy, the one who shoots 45% from the field, that's all the Jazz need him to be.
I'm not going to enumerate much more than or elaborate, I should say, enumerate. That's the wrong word. I'm not going to elaborate much more than what you had to say there, Kyle. I guess what I would add on that is that I'd be worried if Mike Conley was like a 23-year-old player or, you know, 22-year-old player. I would probably say because he's a veteran and he's been through this before, he's not dumb. He knows what he needs to do to be effective on the floor. He knows what he needs to do to help this team win. If that means that he doesn't finish games, he starts games, but he doesn't finish games, I think he would accept that role. I'm not sure he would be happily accepting that role, but I think he knows that he's struggled this season and he just needs to find a groove. And I think he's kind of found that groove like you talked about. I think he's smart enough to realize these are the things I need to do to be successful the rest of the season. And I think he's going to do them. That doesn't mean he's going to be an all-star type player, but I think he's going to be able to just use his skills effectively and be able to do the things that he needs to do. And I think a lot of that has to do with how do I play off these guys a little bit better? And I think he kind of figured that out in those games that he came back, and that's why they put him back in the starting. They didn't put him back in the starting lineup because he's bad. They put him back in the starting lineup because they need him in the starting lineup. I know the Jazz are effective without him in the starting lineup, but I think that they realize they can be that much better if they just give him a little bit more time, and I think he's smart enough to realize what he needs to do going forward. So I think we're going to see a nice, steady Mike Conley. No, he's probably not going to be averaging 25 points a game, but I think he'll average probably around the teens as long as he's shooting well. I think he's going to average around the teens and probably 4 or 5 assists. Maybe he's not going to play as many minutes, and they're probably going to try and save him for the playoffs too. So I think that's probably what we're going to see from Mike Conley. Hey, Kyle, thanks.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Go ahead.
One more thing I just wanted to say. I think the last season gave people or Jazz fans an unrealistic expectation of what Mike Conley is because he was coming off of a season high 21 points a game. That's not who Mike Conley really has been throughout his career. If you look at his scoring total that he's been at the last 10 games, that's better than he's been for all but 5 seasons of his NBA career. And so he's playing at a high level right now. It's just not that he's, you know, playing at a level that he was last season when he was such a ball dominant scorer for a really bad Memphis team. And so I think that the Jazz are getting a really high level player right now. It's just not one that was scoring 21, 22 points a game. And so I think you make a great point that if he can just average in the teens like he is, that he doesn't need to have to, he doesn't have to be the superstar that's scoring 25, 26, 27 points a game, because they already have a player in Donovan Mitchell who's doing that. And so if Mike Conley can, you know, play second fiddle to that on offense, that's all the Jazz need.
And I think that sadly, Jazz fans, or some of us, and I'll include myself, sometimes we go back to those first few games or those first few weeks of the season when he was really struggling. We go, oh, he's going back to this again. I don't think he's going to go back to that again. I really think that he's kind of figured things out, and I think he's going to move on from there. I understand why people would like to see different lineups and maybe not see him in the lineup, or maybe even see the Jazz move on from him after this season. And who knows what's going to happen at the end of the season. He has a player option to opt into his contract. I personally, right now, not knowing anything and not breaking any news, I just think that he would probably opt into that and want to give the Jazz a second try. If he doesn't, I'd be surprised at that. But I think he kind of understands what he needs to do now. I think he's kind of got into his head, okay, I understand what I need to do. Just go out and do it. And I think everything will be okay. Kyle, thanks a lot for joining us on the Jazz Notes podcast. Where can people find you on Twitter?
At Kyle Ireland is where you can find me on social media. Twitter, I'm always there, and at KSLSports.com as well.
And you can find me at KSL Cleon on Twitter. Thanks a lot for listening to the Jazz Notes podcast, downloading, subscribing. Let us know what you think of the podcast. I'm sure Ben Anderson will have something special for you coming up. And we'll also have good coverage this weekend as the Jazz take on the San Antonio Spurs and Houston Rockets. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.